Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Canarish.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm glad you can spend a few minutes with me. Let's kick it off today by talking about radar handoffs. It doesn't matter whether you're flying VFNR or IFNR. ATC has the capability to hand your aircraft off from air traffic controller to air traffic controller. Once you are under radar contact, you are plugged into a system that provides continuous coverage of your flight from liftoff to touchdown. This is a sweet deal for you, because not only do you get uninterrupted service from ATC, it also reduces your workload when you switch from controller to controller. Let me explain. Let's say you've just taken off from Egregious Regional Airport in Central Tennessee. Don't bother looking that place up. It doesn't exist anywhere except in my twisted imagination. You contact Egregious Departure Control and the controller says, "Radar contact." My friend, you are now plugged into the matrix.
Whoa.
When you reach the boundary of the Egregious Terminal Radar Control's airspace, the departure controller will hand your aircraft off to the radar controller handling the adjacent airspace. Usually, this is controlled by an en route center such as Memphis Center. It could also be controlled by a neighboring terminal approach control facility. In either case, before you even check in with the next controller, that controller will have accepted the radar target for your aircraft on his radar display. He knows all about your flight before you even have a chance to dial in his frequency on your radio. The new controller, the one that's about to take you in the handoff, can look at the data block next to the target of your aircraft on his radar display and see your call sign, your aircraft type, your current altitude, the altitude you're climbing or descending to if that applies, and in the case of terminal radar, even your ground speed. The beautiful part about this system is, all you have to do when you check in on the radio is say your call sign and your altitude. If you're currently climbing or descending, then you will want to add your assigned altitude or your planned VFR cruising altitude. For example,
Egregious Departure, Chestnut, 493 Yankee Victor, passing 1,800 for 4,500 VFR.
Radar handles the position reporting for you. Occasionally, you may fly in areas where there are gaps in radar coverage. ATC will let you know about this by saying,
"Radar contact lost."
If you hear that, you will also likely hear the controller tell you to make a position report when passing a specific point on the ground. For example, the controller might tell you to report the egregious VOR, meaning let them know when you're directly over the top of that VOR. That lets the controller update your position while you remain out of radar contact. Here's an important point to keep in mind. When checking in with a new controller while airborne, you should always include your current altitude and, if applicable, the altitude you are climbing or descending to. Now you may ask, why? What about the mode C on my transponder? Isn't that reporting my altitude to ATC? Why do I need to state my altitude? Here's the reason. The altitude reported by your transponder's mode C may or may not be the same altitude you are reading off your altimeter. I mean, it should be, but there can be a difference. Mode C reports altitude to ATC radar by digitizing the information it reads off your altimeter, or your transponder has a separate altitude measuring feature. In either case, there's a chance the altitude your transponder is reporting might be different from the altitude you are seeing on your airplane's altimeter. By stating the altitude you see on your altimeter to ATC, the controller can compare the altitude readout he is receiving to the altitude you are reporting. If the two bits of data are significantly off, the controller will try and troubleshoot the problem. He may give you an updated altimeter setting to see if that corrects the discrepancy. He may also ask you to report your assigned altitude given by the previous controller to make sure that jives with what he has on your flight plan strip. If your altimeter setting is correct and you report an altitude that matches your assigned altitude, the controller will assume your mode C is malfunctioning and ask you to kill it. Since ATC keeps airplanes separated using vertical as well as horizontal separation, an accurate altitude report is critical. That's why you always check in with a new controller by stating your altitude after your call sign. So let's wrap this up. The AIM says initial contact happens every time you check in with a new controller. I think there's another way of looking at initial contact, and it's a refinement that is very important. Once you have initially checked in with ATC and come under radar contact, all subsequent switches to new controllers are handled differently. I don't think of them as initial contact. Initial contact is getting in touch with the first controller who sets you up in the system. From that point on, unless you are specifically told to make position reports, you don't have to report your position to each new controller that you talk to. Does that make sense? Good. Let's move on. You know, in the past, I've talked about air traffic control's hear-back program. I'm not talking read-back, I'm talking about something called hear-back. The air traffic controller's manual says a controller will listen to a pilot's read-back. They call that hear-back. The manual says, and I quote, "If altitude, heading, or other items are read back by the pilot, ensure the read-back is correct. If incorrect or incomplete, make corrections as appropriate," end quote. I find that most controllers listen to readbacks consistently and make corrections as needed. Do you find that to be the case? But you know, controllers aren't perfect. This week alone, I heard 3 pilots make readback errors, and they were not caught by ATC. Fortunately, in 2 instances, the readback errors were incorrect recalls of radio frequency, so no big deal there. I mean, the pilots who were mistaken simply changed to the wrong frequency, discovered their error, and returned to the original frequency to get clarification. The third error could have been more serious. The controller told a pilot who was descending, "Altimeter 2997." The pilot read back, "3007." The controller didn't catch the error. An altimeter error like that will cause an airplane to fly at least 100 feet below the altitude the pilot is reading on his altimeter. That could have been serious. So with that in mind, I would treat ATC's hear-back program the same way you treat ATC's traffic advisories. Traffic advisories do not relieve you of the obligation to clear for traffic on your own. Similarly, ATC's hear-back program does not relieve you of the responsibility to accurately comprehend and read back a clearance or other information. Although ATC does a very good job of quality checking your readback most of the time, don't depend on ATC to catch every readback error. It's critically important to make sure you understand what ATC wants you to do each and every time. If something is unclear, don't rely on ATC to catch a misunderstanding based upon listening to your readback. If you don't understand something a controller said, or if you didn't hear it clearly, you know what to do, right? Ask for clarification. Here's a quick little anecdote that emphasizes a topic I've talked about recently. When I was flying this week, we were talking to Atlanta Approach when another pilot tried to verify his expected runway for landing. The pilot said, and this is a made-up call sign, "Verify airliner 883 is going to runway 28. And the approach controller answered, "Airliner 883, Roger. I mean, affirmative." You know, even ATC gets those two words confused once in a while, and it's nice to see that a controller will correct his own phraseology when he gets it wrong. Speaking of bad phraseology, I can't believe how often I hear professional pilots screw up hold short clearances. You'll recall, when issued taxi instructions, the only taxi clearance you are absolutely required to read back verbatim is a hold short clearance. The correct format is your call sign plus the words hold short plus the taxiway or runway you were instructed to hold short of. This is the one and only way to do it. There are no other acceptable variations. I generally fly 3 to 4 days per week out of the busiest airport in the world. At least once a month, I hear a high-time professional pilot screw up a hold short clearance. Here's the most recent one I heard, with the aircraft call sign altered to protect the stupid. airliner 781 Atlanta Tower, make the right turn on Lima Alpha and hold short of runway 27 right. To which the pilot answered, right on Lima Alpha, airliner 781. And then the controller said, airliner 781, hold short of runway 27 right on Lima Alpha. Holding short of 27 right, the pilot said, airliner 781, I need to hear your call sign and the runway you're holding short of. Sorry, airliner 781, holding short of 27 right. Just a quick announcement before we get to our question of the week. I finished the first draft of my new book, Radio Mastery for Pilots. It's going to the editor for changes, then it will get illustrations before it goes public. I'll keep you posted on an expected publishing date. And now, our question of the week. You are flying VFR over central New Mexico while talking to Albuquerque Center. You are currently in radar contact with Albuquerque, and you are flying along a Victor Airway just above the airway's minimum obstruction clearance altitude. As you pass through a gap between the mountains, the controller at Albuquerque Center says,
radar contact lost. Report over the Silver City VOR.
Here's the question, and it's a two-parter. First, has Albuquerque Center terminated radar service for your flight? And second, what would you say to the air traffic controller as you crossed over the Silver City VOR? When you think you know the answers to those questions, go to the link atccommunication.com/answers. There you will find the correct answers to both questions, along with an explanation about why those answers apply. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If it raised a question or two in your mind, give me a shout at jeff@atccommunication.com. I love hearing from you, and I always appreciate your questions because they inspire new stories for the show. And if you'd like to learn more about talking to air traffic control, check out our website at atccommunication.com. Music for the show is provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com on a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Well, hey, if you're flying this week, I hope you have a great time and beautiful weather. I'm Jeff Canarish for atccommunication.com saying be well and fly safe.